Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Could I just say it's a great privilege to be in Lisburn with you this evening. I'd like to thank your minister for the kind invitation to come along tonight and preach the gospel. And we do pray that the Lord will bless his word as it goes forth. And if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, our prayer is that the Lord will speak to your heart personally. And that even in this meeting tonight, that you'll come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. The text of scripture that I want to leave with you can be found in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 6. Four words in the text: death and hell followed. Let's read the whole verse. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Just those four words I want to emphasize as we come to preaching the gospel tonight. In the middle of verse 8, death and hell followed. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. We pray, Lord, now as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us with thy Holy Spirit. O God, we need thee and we cast ourselves upon thee. And we pray for those in the meeting tonight who are still strangers to grace and to God. We pray, Lord, that you would reach down and save them. We thank thee that you love the sinner, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank thee, Lord, for the sacrifice of Calvary. We praise thee that the Lord Jesus died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We pray, Lord, tonight that you would reach down, therefore, and pluck brands from the burning. And O God, that even tonight, that there might be some soul or souls in this meeting who will flee from the wrath which is to come. For Lord, we're so conscious that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the man or woman who rejects Christ as Saviour will be lost forever. O God, I pray that you would take your precious word and write it upon some heart or hearts tonight. Hide man behind the cross. Our prayer is, Lord, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The law of the harvest is that you reap what you sow. The farmer always reaps what he sows. If he plants a field of cabbage, he will reap a harvest of cabbage. If he sows a field of barley, he will reap a harvest of barley. Because that is the law of the harvest. You only reap what you sow, and you always reap what you sow. What is true of the natural harvest is also true of the spiritual. It is the same when we come to the spiritual harvest. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, we read these words: For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, whatever a man sows in his life, how he lives, in other words, he will reap the harvest of that life when he comes to die. If he has lived his life as a child of God, one who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then he will reap the harvest of everlasting life. But if he has lived his life as a Christ rejecter and lived for the pleasure of sin, then he will reap the harvest of eternal destruction. The hymn writer asked the question, after the sowing of sin is all done, what shall thy reaping be? And then goes on to give the answer. Sowing in Satan's might, reaping eternal night. The text that I want to draw your attention to this evening reveals unto us the sad harvest that the Christ rejecter will reap at the end of a life of sin. Death and hell followed. I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved? Well, here we have a message for you this evening. It's a very solemn message, but it is a message from God's precious word. And it's a message of warning. And the warning is this, that if you reject Christ, live in your sin, and then die in your sin, you will end up in a lost eternity. What a sad text of scripture we have before us this evening. But I want to remind each and every one here tonight who's not a Christian, it is God's word that we have before us. Therefore, as we come to deal with this text and look at this text, I pray that you'll listen very carefully, and my prayer is that God will take his word and write it upon your soul. And even tonight, before this meeting goes out into eternity, my prayer is that you will come and find Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Death and hell followed. As we consider the text, very simply tonight, I just want to emphasize each word. First of all, I want to emphasize the word death. It says here, death. You know, death, of course, is universal to all men. All who live will die, apart from those who will be on this earth at the second coming of Christ. If you're still alive when Jesus Christ comes back again, then you will know nothing of physical death. However, in the normal course of things, death is the lot of all men. The rich, the poor, the famous, the infamous, the mother, the father, the son, the daughter, the young, the old, the sinner, the saint, all will come to death. But what does death really mean? Well, death means that life upon earth is over. My friend, when you and I come to die, the reality is this: our life upon this earth ceases. You know, the happiest time in a family is when a child is born, because life begins. The saddest time in a family is when death comes, because life upon earth ends. The time span between the cradle and the grave, of course, differs for all men. Some men will live a long, healthy life. Others will endure sickness and pain most of their days. Some will die shortly after they're born or pass away in the prime of life. And how men live their lives upon earth will differ as well. Some men will marry and raise a family. Others will not. Some men will be successful in business. Others will not. Some men will become famous and accomplish much. Others will not. But you know, no matter how long we live, or no matter how we live, death will come to us all. Now I know tonight that's a very generous fact. And I'm sure that your attention has been drawn to it many, many times. But the text that the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight to preach, in this text, we are presented with this subject of death. Death. The word death is referred to in the Bible at least 343 times. That's the word death, D-E-A-T-H. The word died, D-E-A-D, is referred to in the Bible at least 349 times. The word die, D-I-E, is referred to in the Bible at least 459 times. Now just think about that for a moment. The subject of death is referred to in God's word at least 1,151 times. And that's not including the word died or dieth or the phrase pass away or come to the end of days. There's no doubt that the subject of death, therefore, is one of the main topics that is spoken of in the Word of God, right from the book of Genesis, right to the book of the Revelation, time and time again in every book of the Bible. This solemn subject is spoken of. And yet, death is the least thought about subject today in the hearts of sinful men. No one likes to think about the day of their death. Why is that? Well, there's an obvious reason for that. It is because when you think about your death, you have to think about where you're going to spend eternity. Why is it that although death is one of the main subjects in the Bible, that men today never want to think about it? It is because when you think about death, you have to start thinking about what comes after death. And of course, no one wants to begin to think about what comes after death. Therefore, we put the subject of death to the back of our minds. But tonight, in this gospel meeting, we are presented with a text, a very simple text, and it draws our attention to this subject of death. And my friend, the Bible tells us very clearly, it is appointed unto man once to die. Each and every one of us, sooner or later, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're healthy or whether we're sick, sooner or later, each and every one of us will have to face this last enemy. And my friend, if you're not saved here tonight, you will have to face this last enemy as well. Death. But then there's another word here in this text, and that's the word hell. Look at the text. Death and hell. The word for hell here is the word Hades. Hades means the unseen world. I want you to notice a number of things about Hades or hell, this unseen world. Again, if you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully. Hell or Hades is a place beyond the grave. We must make the distinction between the grave and hell. Now, there are many today, and they don't make that distinction. They believe that the grave is hell, where the body is placed after you die. That's hell. But the Word of God makes a clear distinction between the grave and hell, because they are two different and distinct places. The grave is where the body dwells. Hell is where the soul dwells. Now we can see this in many places in the Word of God, but we can certainly see it in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. If you want to turn over, let me just read you the verses, especially if you're not saved and perhaps you're not familiar with the verses. We read about the rich man in Luke 16 who dies, and it says at the end of verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. His body was put into Mother Earth. Buried in Mother Earth. That's where the body dwells, in the earth. But then it goes on to say, and in hell, or in Hades, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. So that text of Scripture teaches us very simply and very clearly that the grave and hell are two different and distinct places. The grave is where the body dwells. Hell is where the soul dwells. And of course, as we're going to find out, the soul of the Christ rejecter. But notice something else about hell or Hades. Hell or Hades is a place which God controls. Now this is something very, very important. I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 1 for a moment, because there's a text of scripture there that's very significant when it comes to who controls hell or Hades. Revelation chapter 1, look what it says there in verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Second person in the Holy Trinity, God the Son. And here we have the Savior speaking, and he describes himself as the one that liveth, and the one that was dead, and the one that is alive forevermore, the resurrected Christ. Look what it says at the latter part of verse 18. And I have the keys of death, or of hell, and death. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, is the gatekeeper of hell. Christ holds the keys that open the gate of hell, and he has the keys that lock the gate of hell. There are other references that emphasize this truth. In Revelation chapter 20, and we read over there in verse 1 these words, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him. Now, we're not going to go in to the context there, saying this, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that has the key of the bottomless pit. It is the God of heaven who controls who goes into hell and who does not go into hell. Again, in Luke chapter 12, we read these words in verse 5 of Luke chapter 12. This truth again is brought out here in this text of scripture. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell, yea, I say unto you, fear him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said on another occasion, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So hell or Hades is a real place, and we must distinguish from the grave. And hell or Hades is a place that God controls. How does God decide who goes to hell? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is simple. He decides on the basis of what sinners think and do with Christ. If sinners reject the Savior, then the gates of hell will be opened and they will be cast therein. And, of course, another text of Scripture that proves that is Matthew chapter 11. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 11 for a moment. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion, and he's speaking about the people of Capernaum. And you will remember that the people of Capernaum rejected the Savior. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 23. And now Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this present. Why was that city going to receive the judgment of God, or the people of that city going to receive the judgment of God? Because the people of Capernaum rejected Christ as Messiah and Savior. You see, hell or Hades is a place reserved for the Christ rejecter. And that's the point that I want you to understand tonight. If you're in this meeting and you're not saved, and you're not born again of the Spirit of God. Many people tell us today they don't believe in hell. Many people tell us today they don't believe in life beyond the grave. Many people tell us today that once death comes, that's the end. But my friend, this text that we have here in Revelation chapter 6 speaks about death, and then it speaks about hell. And it makes a distinction, a clear distinction between both. And as we have found out in other texts of Scripture tonight, it is God who holds the keys the hell. He determines who goes to hell. And he makes that determination on the basis of how sinners respond to the message of the gospel. In other words, if men reject the gospel and say no to God's free offer of salvation, then they are cast into a lost eternity. And we're going to see that just in a moment. But it's important that you see the distinction here. It's very important. Oh, my friend, I wonder in this meeting tonight, as you sit under the sound of the gospel, have you ever considered leaving this scene of time? Have you ever considered the day of your death? Have you ever considered where you're going to be in God's eternity? I know that we're living in days when men and women will not think upon eternal matters, and they reject the gospel out of hand. That's why the church today needs revival, and that's why we need to see the Lord work again in mighty power. But oh, perhaps there's someone here tonight, and the Lord has brought you here to hear this message, and even to read this text of Scripture from your Bible. What a solemn text it is. But my friend, it is a text of Scripture that teaches us clearly that the grave is not the end, that death is not the end, that there is life beyond the grave for the Christ rejecter. You see, some people think that if they put God out of their mind and reject the gospel and even say that they're an atheist or agnostic, that that in some way will cause them to escape what is beyond the grave. But my friend, it will not. And you can blank out God in your life. You can say no to His free offer of salvation, and you can live your life in sin. But sooner or later, you're going to die, and you're going to have to stand before God, and you're going to have to give an account of your life upon this earth, and you're going to have to give an account of what you did with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were talking about keys there, the one that controlled the keys of hell. Did you ever think about the keys that open the door to heaven? Did you know that every gospel preacher has the keys that open up the door to heaven for the sinner? What are those keys? Well, those keys are the gospel message. Christ gave those keys to Peter and to the rest of the apostles. And those keys have been given to every faithful gospel preacher down through the history of the church. Just take a look at a couple of verses. It's interesting this, but it's important that you see it from the Word of God. Turn over just for a moment to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And these are familiar words. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And look what it says there in verse 19. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These words do not mean that Peter had the authority to decide who would get into heaven, and of course you would know that. These words mean that Peter had the only message that could deliver sinners from their sin, and if sinners believed the gospel, whoever they were, that they would receive everlasting life. Peter did not give life, the keys or the gospel give life if sinners believed that gospel. And the Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples before he ascended back up into heaven to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what a responsibility, therefore, the gospel preacher has. Every time, therefore, he opens the Bible and presents Christ and presents the gospel, he has the keys, the key of knowledge, And that's why the gospel preacher must preach the full counsel of God. But isn't it wonderful that as the gospel goes forth and the minds and the hearts of men are enlightened to the truth, that they can get saved? And that's why we preach the gospel, and that's why we seek to preach the word of God, so that men may hear the truth, and that men may come to a knowledge of Christ, a saving knowledge of Christ. My friend, there's no greater privilege than to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. No greater privilege, and yet there's no greater responsibility. I wonder what you will do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You have the responsibility of responding positively to the gospel of Christ. Now that you have heard, I'm sure you have heard many times, perhaps you sit in this church week by week and you hear the gospel faithfully proclaimed and you know your need of a Savior and you know your need of Christ. How privileged you are! Did you know that there are men and women across this world tonight and they never once have heard the message of the gospel? They never once have had the privilege of a gospel or a gospel minister standing up like I'm doing now and presenting them with the message of saving grace. And they're in darkness tonight. They're in complete darkness because they never once have heard the message of the gospel. But you can't say that. Because week by week and month by month and year by year, the keys are presented to you. The gospel is presented to you. My friend, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Capernaum that their hell would be 10 times worse. And I believe that there are divisions in hell. How severe your hell will be because you have heard. Because you have heard. O death and hell. Death and hell. But then there's another word. And I want you to take a look at this other word. Very simple word, isn't it? Look at the text again. It says death and hell followed. The word followed. Followed. Now, the word follow, it simply means to come after. And I'm sure that even the children in the meeting tonight could give us the definition of what the word followed means. When Christ called the disciples, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The Bible says that the disciples straightway left their nets and followed Jesus. In other words, they came after Christ. Immediately, Christ called them to follow him. Immediately, they followed him. That's what the Bible says, and that gives us a good definition of what the word follow means. In our text in Revelation 6 verse 8, we are told that hell follows death for the Christ rejecter. Death and hell followed. Now, look at the text all together now. Death and hell follow. The Bible here is teaching that hell comes after death for those who are not saved and born again of the Spirit of God. Now, that's what the Bible says. And of course, that's what we learn also in Luke chapter 16. Because as soon as the rich man died, the Bible tells us that in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And there are many other places in the Word of God where this truth is set forth clearly and plainly for men to see. The sad thing is that men do not want to see this truth. They don't want to contemplate this truth. They don't want to study this truth. They want to ignore this truth. And that's why when you try to speak to men and women about the things of God and about eternal matters and about heaven and hell and death and where they're going to spend eternity, that they don't want to listen. But the Word of God is clear, men and women. when the Christ rejecter comes to die, when you come to die, if you're not saved, let me say this very lovingly, when death comes, hell will follow. Now here's the question. What period of time elapses between death and hell? In other words, from the sinner dies, the moment the sinner dies, until the sinner enters into hell, what time goes by? Does an hour go by? Does a couple of days go by? Does a week go by? What time goes by? Well, here's the answer that I'll give you, and I believe it's a scriptural answer. As long as it takes the soul to leave the body and go down into hell, that's how long it'll take. As long as it takes the soul to leave the body. The moment you die, in other words, immediately death comes, hell follows. That's the thrust of the text, men and women. That's the thrust of the teaching in Luke chapter 16. The rich man died, and immediately it says here, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Here we have the harvest that the Christ rejecter will reap at the end of a life of sin. That's why the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And men today are deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves in thinking that God will not judge sin. They're deceiving themselves into thinking that they can get into heaven through religion or good works or some other way. They're deceiving themselves into thinking that God will not condemn ungodliness. They're deceiving themselves into thinking that they can get into heaven any other way apart from Jesus Christ and his eternal redemption. Because the man or woman who dies rejecting God's only way of salvation through Christ, the moment they die, hell follows. My friend, if you don't get anything else from this message tonight, you get the text. All I'm interested in tonight is you getting the text. That's all I want you to remember. Just remember the text. Because the text is the most important thing. That's the most important thing. It's what the Word of God says is the most important thing. Death and hell followed. Now you get it. You're not saved tonight. Death and hell followed. Young person, you want to get the text tonight. That's all I want you to remember. For that's what God says. No, it doesn't matter what I say. I could come tonight with a fancy outline, and we could give a fancy definition of all these things. But the most important thing is what the text says. For that's God's word. And you see, the Bible tells me that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall stand forever. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, someday when this world is no more, someday when this world has been destroyed in the judgment of God, someday when those of us who are saved are in heaven and those who are not saved are lost in hell forever, when that day comes, the Word of God will still be in heaven. It will still be declared. And this text will remain. Death and hell followed. And my friend, that's why tonight you need to be saved. That's why tonight you need to come to Christ. That's why tonight you need to repent of your sin and by faith accept Christ as your Savior. That's why tonight You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the only one who can deliver you from hell and judgment to come. He has the keys. Isn't it wonderful, child of God, to know that when we go out to meet our God, He will not open up the gate of hell for us. He will not. For we belong to Him. Our names are written in the palms of His hand. Heaven will be open for us. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, where I am, there ye may be also. He'll bring us into heaven. Oh, my friend, he wants to bring you into heaven. But in order to get into heaven and escape hell, you must come the way of the cross. It's only the way of the cross leads home. Not so long ago, I was talking to a man about his soul and how the conversation came around. He gave me the opportunity to speak to him. He says, you know, Mr. Gray, I haven't been feeling too well lately. He says, I get a pain in my chest and it goes down my arm. And I could die any time. Now, if you missed an opportunity like that, it would be a bad job, wouldn't it? And I spoke to this man by his name. I says, but are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Are you prepared for death? My friend, I'll ask you the same question. Are you ready to die? Are you prepared for death? Because if you're not, the moment you die, hell will follow. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee tonight and we thank Thee, Lord. We thank Thee for Thy mercy and for Thy goodness. O God, we know that there are many of these texts in the Bible and they're solemn texts. O God, I pray that You'd write Your word upon the heart. Write it upon the heart tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for the preaching of the gospel, and we thank Thee for the message of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that You've given to us of presenting men and women with the claims of Christ. O God, this evening, I pray that You would reach down and pluck a brand from the burning. And Lord, that You would redeem men for time and for eternity and save them. Thank Thee, Lord, that You're still in the soul-saving business. O God, save men tonight. And draw them to Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.